Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
They're not going to the Super Bowl, Glenn. I told you. The Patriots are not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, Tom, has it hit you yet?
See, I don't know the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl either.
Which part?
I'm going to take something back because they are no longer the team to beat the AFC.
Has it hit you yet that you're actually going back?
They're not capable on the road.
I'm too old. Too old.
He looks old.
We got no skill players.
Look at that receiving core. Bust.
Touchdown. Philip Dorsett.
Has been.
Edelman's got it again.
Don't knows.
Gronk turns around, makes the catch.
This is not a Super Bowl winning roster.
The only person going to Atlanta is me, and I'm going there for the taste of the NFL.
Everything changed. Sorry. Yeah, you can call me what you want.
Two-week loop.
Why should anybody believe in them on the road?
I'll say it. You still suck on the road.
Am I incorrect? Somebody want to correct me?
Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Thank you.
Right now.
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
You're incorrect. I'd like to correct you. You're wrong. Okay, you're
what?
I'd like to correct that guy who was just talking about, you know, you suck on the road. They don't suck on the road, apparently, because they won on the road in a very difficult place to play. They had no communication issues whatsoever in a tough place to
communicate. Tell me you weren't thinking about that watching that first game, Rams-Saints. How much issues
was a major
the Rams
problem.
Had? Like, right. I mean, he put duct tape or whatever it was over his ear holes
right.
So he couldn't hear. He sprinted out to a wide receiver, I think Reynolds at one point, to tell him what he wanted, then sprinted back in the shotgun. Jared Goff did. And linemen, and my first thought was like, damn, this is the playoffs. Is this what it's going to be like?
I think he said
in Kansas City?
I think he said after the game that he had communication issues with the headset.
The headsets are down?
Yes, apparently.
Ooh, in New Orleans.
Outside of Foxborough. Never happened before anywhere other than Foxborough.
I saw that and said, okay, this is the issues, right? This is why it's hard playing on the road, especially in a place like Kansas City. It's going to be an issue for this team. Again, it looked like it was a neutral site. It looked like it was a Gillette.
I agree.
Zero issues communication. Did you have a false start?
No.
Did you have any of those things?
No.
Delay of game? Nothing
no.
that you might see on the road and the crowd's going crazier? You know, if anything else, I mean, third and tens.
I'll give you what you had.
Third and eights.
You had D Ford. We talked about
crowd screaming. Nothing.
I mentioned it the other day about the defensive guys getting off the mark earlier. They were cheating. D Ford was over the line of scrimmage and got called on a big play.
That was a huge
play for them.
Imagine if he's just, you know, a foot, not half a foot, for farther back. That ball goes off
Game's
Gronk's
over.
Hands.
Yep.
It's intercepted.
Game over. See ya.
Game over.
Thank you.
Game.
Thanks for coming.
And that's what I was talking about. There's just so many. Like, you think the Patriots.
Been Brady's third pick. Forget about it.
It would be back and forth, back and forth.
He's
each
old
team
now.
Had a bunch of calls go their way, you know, almost getting hit by a truck, surviving that, and all the way to the end of the fact that the coin toss. Now, you'll hear national people say that they're lucky they won the coin toss. That's it. So if Slater calls tails, we're singing a different tune. Right, and now we're talking about the end of the dynasty, an end of an era. Right, you're talking about they don't like each other. There's no I love you. There's just everybody's got their head down. That's what it would be, because if they would have called, if it would have came up tails, the Chiefs get the ball and they go right down and they score, and that's the way the game ends.
Well, some people are saying they're lucky. I've already heard that one with Max Kellerman. It's beyond the flip of the coin, and so one thing he's throwing out there, and this goes to show you how dumb. This statistic really is, when you think about it. It's the quarterback rating, which is basically a passing rating, okay? So Brady did throw two interceptions, one of them deflected. So Patrick Mahomes ends up with a quarterback rating yesterday of 117, passing rating of 117. Tom Brady, 77.1. You watched the game. We all watched the game. Who was the better quarterback?
I would say they're both really good.
He was good.
Okay,
Mahomes was
really
terrific.
Good. But you can't look there. That shows
me. I don't
that
think Brady was
me,
better.
That tells me that there's this huge disparity. That tells me there's this huge, like, one guy was just incompetent.
Right.
Okay, and I'm going to count him for that one, the one interception, which, terrible. It's even worse because how close they were to scoring.
Yeah, but can I bring this one up? This is why the thing is not accurate, because, and I'm not trying to put Patrick Mahomes down. I think the kid's terrific, and I think he's going to get better. And he is the MVP, and he played a good game, made some mistakes, probably a little shaky early on, but he had four sacks that cost him 46 yards.
Hi there.
Guess whose fault that was? That was Patrick Mahomes. That wasn't his offensive line. But he had plenty of time. He kept on going backwards.
But I don't think it was glaring. One guy outperformed the next.
That's the point I'm making. 117 right. to 77, right. though. That doesn't tell the story.
No,
of the
because
game.
There was some misthrows from Mahomes. Bad misthrows.
Yes.
In the touchdown of Damien Williams in the first half.
That was a
touchdown. The wheel route like he had with Kareem Hunt back up here. So, and there were some bad overthrows from him. And you said sacks. And I tell you, that was a big play, too, at the end of that first half. They're in field goal range, and he takes a 14-yard sack.
Dumb.
And in that weather, you know, Bill was talking about the cold and the wind. Did you see the reports pregame? They're saying like Buckner and Gostkowski, all those guys were struggling.
Right.
I think he was only getting from 48. He was like 0-for-3. He couldn't get from 48. And it was difficult to kick. Knocked him right out of field goal range. That's a huge sack that I don't think shows up in QBR, does it?
No. It's a gigantic play. And we sit here and talk about Brady not, you know, leaving points on the field because he forgot, you know, the timeouts or whatever in that Miami game. This is a playoff game. And that's the one thing you can't do. Going into that play, the one thing you can't do is get sacked. You at least have to walk off the field with 3 points.
So if you're going to, throw that. So, and I agree with you. There are so many critical plays. We're going to call them critical plays.
Like no game I've ever seen before.
And that's why I thought it was the best game I've ever seen, because this one element, and usually these big games, there's one or two at the most, right, where you're like, wow, this can completely change. Not a sack or something like that. The plays that we're talking about that really kind of could have really, you know, pushed the team one way or the other, but eventually it didn't for the Patriots because they just had one less than the Kansas City Chiefs did?
Yes.
Do you have them?
You have what?
The critical plays that you wanted to go.
I've got them all. I've been giving to you. How about the 4th-and-a-half yard? And you give the ball to Rex Burkhead. That was in the fourth quarter, right?
Yes. Sorensen made that play.
Get up to that ball quick. He takes a look. Is the quarterback sneak there?
Burkhead's the running back. He gets the handle. He's pushed back. He's denied. Kansas City stops New England.
I can't believe they just did that. Wow. Sorensen gets in on the tackle and grabs his legs. There's Sorensen, 49.
Huge play.
Huge play. That's one thing I would say about this team. Like they need a big back. A big short yardage, like just rough and tumble guy that's not going to allow some, you know, third-rate safety.
Like Jeremy Garrett, behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was a reason why he was, on the
team.
It
was a good call, though. You teased it before with Romo on that play. You know, when you're defending the quarterback sneak, so you got everybody right up over center. He's like, that's why it's so hard to defend. If they're defending the quarterback sneak, now you can run, you know, you're running back not up the middle, but in the outside, like you did with Sony Michel, who scored that touchdown. But with that Burkhead one, it was, okay, they took away the quarterback sneak. They had everybody right over center, and what you did was you ran the ball right into it.
Right.
And that's why I think Romo, I thought, was spot on, because the opportunity came later on, and they gave it to Michel. He ran in for a touchdown because he ran off. You know, he ran over the tackle, you know, instead of right over the center. So Romo was very good in this game.
Romo was great.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, we've got a compilation here. We got a compilation of the Romo stuff, and it'll give you an idea of some of the great plays. But listen to Romo as he breaks them down before the play happens. He tells you what is going to happen. This was amazing.
They've got to go back to the Brady sneak or something, don't they? Oh, they're killing it. Usually means a motion and a run out wide to the right.
Here's the handoff and to the end zone. It's Sony Michel.
3rd and 5. I got to put Gronkowski out wide.
Here they come after Brady. He goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around, makes the catch. He saw what you saw, Tony.
They're going to run this ball. Kansas City's got to sell out.
Burkhead pulls ahead and scores the touchdown.
Gronk's got a chip. Running back's got to help, so he has time to throw. Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch.
Gronk is out wide. Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety. If he comes down,
There's a good chance he's throwing out there. It's Gronk for the first down.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
To Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl, New England.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Unbelievable.
He's getting all this credit and for calling all the Patriots plays, but did he not? Were the Chiefs not on offense?
There were a couple Chiefs plays as well.
Just the Patriots?
So I think Bill's probably leaking the stuff out to him, right?
You think that's what it is?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure Belichick's
leaking it out. Or maybe every big play was like, oh, look, there's a screen to Williams. Oh, wait, no, I didn't call that one.
I'll say two things about him. One, he views the game from a quarterback's mind, and that's basically what fans want to hear, right? They want to hear what the quarterback is doing.
What
and
a call, Romo Stradamus.
And he does that better than anybody else. And the second one is, he has the enthusiasm of a kid who's really excited about what he's watching.
Yeah, everything was like Brady had the ball, and 2 minutes to go, 2:05, whatever it was, down four, and he's just like, this is great.
So when you're in
Brady with the ball, down four, like a little kid.
So when you're in the edge of your seat, and you probably taking another sip of your crown, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, this play is unbelievable. Tony Romo is taking his voice up here to give you the feeling. You're seeing something that is big.
Crazy rock in here during the timeout.
I love him. I think he's the best by far.
Yeah, he's good.
Best by far. Still want to stick with Witten? You want to stick with Witten?
Pretty good. I didn't like that play call.
He sucks. Actually, when you do compare it and you realize like Witten has really no ability to see it before it happens.
No.
Like he can't.
Well, you know tight ends. They're not real smart. They don't know the game.
This is one of the things Jordan does a good job, running routes.
It's like Captain Obvious. Yeah, that was an out route. Oh, thank you, Mr. Witten. Thank you very much.
That's the thing about smart players. Sometimes you think in those moments that, okay, I know exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah, let's have a defensive tackle call the plays.
Turnovers matter.
He's used to seeing coverages and play development, and he knows what a quarterback's
doing. I thought he's not having penalties. I thought he's been great the last.
It's like he's reading the defense along with Brady.
Yes.
He sees what they're doing. I see they're sending that guy in motion. He knows it's his own. What? And it's like, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to check out of this. I mean, Brady's going to check out of this. No, I liked him.
He is so good. And yesterday,
and he's got the Super Bowl. CBS got the Super Bowl.
Here's Sean in Idaho. Hi, Sean.
Hello, and good afternoon there, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Great, thank you.
So I got to tell you something. You know, you guys talk about penalties, and you talk about the calls and stuff. I was talking with some of my good friends back east since I've been to Massachusetts, of course. That was back in May of 2015. I'll tell you, Kansas City, 28-24, third down and 10. Let's remember, people need to remember this, encroachment on the defense. Don't forget about how big the offside penalty was.
Yep.
Because you know what I'm getting at? If you give the Patriots extra opportunities, they will torch you. They will kill you. And you give them the extra chances with the penalties. That was a huge play because then instead of third and 10 and that potential game-ending interception, it goes to third and 5, and then Brady with that fabulous pass to Gronkowski. That's why you just can't give the Patriots opportunities.
Excellent point. I heard Mahomes say that in the pregame interview, and they asked him, what did you learn in game 6 when you played the Patriots, week 6? He said, I learned that if you screw up and make mistakes like I made and you give New England another down, another opportunity, you're going to lose. And he's right. That's exactly what happened in that game.
The worst part about that penalty was that there was no impact. It wasn't like he jumped and got to Brady and forced, you know. It had no impact at all on the interception. Just stupid. Like maybe it was fatigue. I don't know because they were out there for 94 plays, but just setting up offsides. That's just a race.
I would even say the roughing the passer play that was on Jones.
That was awful. Yes.
That was a terrible call.
I don't even know what to say. It was. I'm not going to compare it to what happened in New Orleans because that was the worst I've ever seen. But that one, what are they looking at?
I have no idea. They must have thought, although they didn't say it, they must have thought that he got his hand up in his.
The refs were bad. But I don't think you put any of that game on the refs. No. I mean, you could talk about
the other game on the refs.
No, absolutely. CJ Jackson, pass interferences.
Well, I mean, that play.
One wasn't called.
The D Ford, that was legit offsides. And they threw the flag but right after the ball was snapped because they give him enough time to get back. He didn't. They called the ball as soon as it was snapped. But the roughing the passer, that extended the drive.
Yeah, that was awful.
That just gave him life.
Terrible. Did you see that, Gene? No, it's not contact to the head. And in Cleet's defense, Jim, his angle.
angle's difficult there, but you do have to see it to call it. But it's a swing and a miss, and it's a missed call for roughing the passer.
Hey, see, that's the thing.
I hate this angle. Then get a better angle.
No, exactly. Like this whole, it's just a swing and a miss. No, you can't sit there and just allow this to be, that's just the cost of doing business, right? We're refs, and, we can't get everything right, and, there's a plus minus for everything. Like, the rules will change as far as their ability to, challenge everything. Like, just to.
They should be able to. I know Bill just poo pooed it. I don't worry about the Rams. Not going to worry about the offseason, but this is the way the league reacts. This is how they do it. The more media attention things get, that's when they actually react. And given what happened in that Saints game, yeah, they're going to allow you to use your to challenge some penalties. They should. They don't have to give you three or four more challenges to kind of make the games long. You don't have to do that. You get your two challenges. If you don't like the personal foul call or roughing the pass, or you don't like the interference, then throw it. Use it.
Yeah, but I must tell you that both games, the officiating was very shaky.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of it is that in the playoffs now, what they do is they reward the best officials, okay, the highest scored officials, and those guys get assignments. They're no longer working as a unit. It's no longer a team. I think during the course of the season, you get to know the other officials you're working with, and it's like guys playing on defense. If you're in the second layer, you're passing off the receiver to the third layer. There's communication going. I think officials kind of work that way.
Yeah.
And I even think yesterday, you had a situation where nobody was willing to step in with an obvious call. It is in the NFC game. It is either a pass interference or it's head-to-head contact.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. So you don't throw a flag on that play. And then you get everybody together, and then what? 30 seconds later, drop a flag in the ground? So actually, after discussing it, it was pass interference?
Yeah, if somebody saw
it. How do you do that?
Like, if someone who saw
I understand picking a flag up, right? They do that. They throw the flag, and they talk about it, and they pick it up because they saw something. But you don't throw a flag, and then you get together and just and then call a penalty after getting together?
But it's a swing and a miss.
I would be fine with it if they get it right. Like, I wasn't quick enough. I didn't call it. Sorry, guys. I panicked, right? I wasn't sure. But after reviewing it, by the way, I saw it on the big screen, and I was wrong. I should have called it. I'm totally fine with that.
They have a major problem on their hands for the next 2 weeks because they're going to get the national media showing up in Atlanta. And the constant theme, and this might be good for New England, constant theme is the Rams don't deserve to be there. They shouldn't be there. Because if you look at what happened, it's not like it was a bad call and there was time for a team to recover. No, that was the game.
Yeah,
that
would have
been automatic
out.
First down.
Yep.
You run the clock. You kick a chip shot. It's over.
With no
game
time
is
left.
Over. No time. We don't go to overtime. This one is so clear cut, and it looks so bad for the league. And there is a rule, by the way, in the rule book, and Mike Florio pointed this out last night, in which the commissioner could have done something. Now, he's not going to do it. If you read the rule, basically says they can replay the game. They can replay the play. They can, bring everybody back to the site and play.
Imagine.
They're never going to do that.
That'd be great.
But, all right, if you had a ticket stub to this game, welcome back.
Yeah, come back. You guys take a break.
Mm-hmm. Second run of concessions, right?
Yep. Yeah. We're going to open up everything.
At 7:30, we're going to finish this game back to where it was. Give you time getting your seats.
It's never going to happen. But I thought that was awful for the league last night. It's not like it's going away. Because that team advances on now with all of the media for the next 2 weeks, spotlighting the Super Bowl and a team that does not deserve to be there. Shouldn't be there.
And the thing is, I can't even imagine what the fans are going through, that live and die with the Saints and who that nation, whatever the hell they are, to see something like that because you're about to go to a Super Bowl. If they just make the right call, like there hasn't been, I can't remember like a worse blown call that I've ever seen.
No, that's as
ever.
Well, he could have called.
And there's a difference to your franchise, your fan base going to a Super Bowl and having a chance to win a Super Bowl, and it just gets taken from you.
Well, the worst part about it was Nickell Robey-Coleman comes out after the game and basically admits, I just wanted to level the guy. I never turned on the look at the ball. I was expecting.
He could have had an interception.
Yes, yes, and he was admitting, and it got even worse because he's, so do you fine him now? Because we fine, even though you don't get a penalty, you can fine for head-to-head. This was helmet-to-helmet contact. The league talks about safety issues. This was obviously a violation of everything they're trying to clear up with the league for safety, and it turns out to be the difference of who's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's your worst nightmare.
The whole season was focused on just throwing flags, like overdoing. And this is what the NFL always does. They go overboard on everything. They want to prove a point. They want to, you know, send a message. So they go overboard on hitting the quarterback head to head, even if it's not even close. You know, just for thinking about it, we're going to throw you a flag because we got to scare you straight. We got to scare you, and you have to think that even the most incidental type of contact is going to amount to a flag. So stay away from it altogether. Well, here come the playoffs. The games are more important. The refs are a little bit more anxious, I would think, right? Because they're human. And they're dealing with the stress of getting the call right, and they don't want it to come down to a blown call. Like if you had like a which ended up happening, but if you had a pass interference on like a 3rd and 10 or a 4th and 10, and then you call pass interference on a what is basically just a 50-50 ball, a contested catch, right? You got two guys fighting for it. They're not going to call a flag on that.
But that one, what we just saw,
that lost them the game.
I mean, There's no way that they can sit and justify they didn't call one of two penalties.
You just throw personal a flag and then you can decide what the hell you want to call it.
Exactly.
Because it obviously didn't
That's
look
what
right.
You do. That's
I
what
mean, you
do.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
You know what you brought
The guy just launched himself at him. He tackled them, and then the ball came and hit him after he tackled them.
So maybe what you do is, you just said what happens if you don't throw a flag. Maybe what you do is you look at the play, you say something happened here, I'm throwing the flag, worst case scenario, we can huddle and we can pick the flag up.
Because you don't
up.
Do the opposite.
Right.
You don't not throw it, huddle, then drop a flag and say, you know what, we missed up. Like Christian said, we just saw the replay on a big screen, but we're going to just say we messed up because you got a better look.
And I'm wondering.
Throw the flag and then take it away if you have to.
If you're not part of a crew, and this is all the so-called all-star team, okay, and they don't know the other guys real well, maybe that's part of the issue. All right, back to the phone call, 617-779-7937 next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You make the wrong call that the Saints got jobbed in their own backyard. Right. We weren't playing in the damn Coliseum. We weren't playing in L.A. This is the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And listen, who works at the airport? They need to find out who this cat is. Todd Prukop used to be tormented for life by the Who Dat Nation. I mean, a Judge McCall, what are you? Your sphincter, you got all tight? You couldn't make the right call? Listen, it was so obvious, it's ridiculous.
I'd never pull for the AFL to win a Super Bowl, but I will now.
AFL? I'd never pull for the AFL. That's an old AFL fan.
I'd never pull for the AFL to win a Super Bowl, but I will now.
Okay. I tell you what, the rest of the nation may hate the New England Patriots, but the New Orleans Saints have a new fan favorite coming up in 2 weeks. They're going to be rooting for the Patriots. They are miserable down there, and I don't blame them.
I feel bad for them.
I do too. We would be doing the exact same thing.
I mean, that's just not, you know, that's not week 12, you know, no. Where it might affect the seeding. No. And that your season's over, and you should be going to the Super Bowl.
They should be. They get jobbed. And I don't know how you get around it if you're the commissioner.
No.
How do you get around this without making some change in the offseason? How do you satisfy
Sean
people?
Sean Payton's on the competition committee,
yes.
The one that
you're
decides.
You've got to change the rules.
They have high standards in the NFL.
It's going to get so much attention. This is how the NFL works. You know, they don't do anything until media picks up on it. And people are screaming about it, whether it be domestic violence or any of the situations they have in their league. They just react to, like, the noise. There's going to be a lot of noise, and rightfully so, in the next 2 weeks leading
up
to this game.
I don't see how anybody can sit there. Oh, I heard one. I take it back. I heard one. It was guess who? Guess who justified it and said the Saints and the Saints fans have nothing to bitch about?
Kellerman.
Yep.
Well, I heard the criticism, too. What was his reasoning?
His reasoning was they didn't do enough other things within the context of the game.
Well, I heard people questioning like the play calling late in that game.
He did.
Sean
he
Payton.
Said that, right.
You know, on that throw there, you know, do they run the ball? Do they make the Rams use the last time out? Do they, you know, do they kick a field goal and only give them, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds
irrelevant.
To go up and down the field with no timeouts? You know, instead that was an incomplete pass to kick the field goal that gave them a lot of time.
Irrelevant.
Which I get. But you still can't take away from that. None of that mattered.
They also missed. They did miss a face mask on somebody grabbed Goff's mask, and they got that. But they missed that all the time. So we see that in the context of games. This one was so clear cut, so obvious. Could have called a personal foul. Could have called it as PI. There was no doubt in this one.
There were so many times during this game, during the Patriots game, where I sat there and said, "Wow, okay, this is going to be the headline conspiracy theory." The Patriots got away with it again.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're lucky.
It's really just the Chris Jones one, though.
The league just wants them. No, there was even the here's a question I was going to ask you. No, thank you for the conspiracy music. Do you think that some of the calls that went on in the Patriots game had anything to do with the way they called them, had anything to do with the way they were poorly called in the Rams game? Like, do you think they were... Like, because I thought the Edelman play, I was like, man, it's gonna be really hard for them to overturn that.
No, I think they got it right.
Yeah, but I think if they didn't mess it up so badly in the Rams game, that maybe that call stands, and then the Chiefs get a touchdown.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
Because it's
the league office that's actually doing this.
Get this right, guys. Right. It'd be real easy to say, hey, just leave it the way it is.
Makes sense.
Indisputable evidence, because it didn't look clear, and some angles it looked like it touched. Sometimes it didn't. I was surprised.
I thought they did a good job with the Hogan catches. The one-handed catch, you know, that's like that new rule of... You know, maybe he kind of loses possession, or the ball hits the ground, but he never lost possession.
Right.
On the one-handed catch. Then the other one that they reviewed, I thought there was a drop.
Right.
Right. So I thought they did a good job with all the reviews.
Right.
You know, the one, like you said, the conspiracy would have just been the Chris Jones roughing the passer, because you could argue that Trey Flowers did more, you know, to Pat Mahomes earlier in the game, you know, when his head kind of went flying back. But other than that, I mean, I watched that one play. Remember that play with Gronk with Eric Berry? And he was basically holding on to his brace the entire time and yanking him and pulling him. And Gronk was like, no pass interference. No, for a while, you're sitting there saying, what the hell? What are they doing? And then, of course, you got
J.C.
Jackson, who's
J.C. Jackson, first-year
player, though. He gets that. They throw the flag on him. They don't do it with Eric Berry, who's the seasoned vet. And we've seen that over
the years. But the refs, was it Chris Jones won? Yeah. Roughing the passer?
I just thought...
That's a crappy call.
But they weren't real good in either one of these games. They were horrendous in that call in the first game. But the officials were not good in either one of the games.
But there's a huge difference when you make a call like that within a game.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like people, that call in the first quarter blew the game. Impossible. You get three more quarters. You do what you have to do. But when you blow one of the most blatant penalties you'll ever see in football, with a minute 20 to go, where the other team could run the clock out, kick a field goal, and go to the Super Bowl... Like, I don't know how you deal with that. Like, I'd be losing my ever-loving mind if I was like a diehard Saints fan wanting them to get to the Super Bowl.
Listen,
here's Ryan. Ryan's in Weymouth. Next up here on OMF. Hi, Ryan.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for the call. Great show. Hey, I'm gonna say I was wrong. I did not think the Patriots were gonna make it to the Super Bowl. And again, they proved me wrong. They're just an excellent organization. Obviously, the best. Guys, two quick things, please. Hey, Josh Gordon, it's funny. Josh Gordon exits the balance of the offense. They start running the hell out of the ball. That was huge, but obviously in this game, in the late fourth and in overtime, when it took the passing game, they hit every third down. It was incredible, and I want number six so bad. But my other second point is, guys, my favorite player, Julian Edelman, that guy is stones, and he's just made some huge plays over the years. He's won two Super Bowls. I know we're looking ahead. They got to win this third one. He's got to win his third Super Bowl. But, guys, if he goes and has a great game in the Super Bowl and they win and he has his third, are we talking about Julian Edelman as the greatest wide receiver in the history of the Patriots?
Love you, buddy.
Well, here's what I say. Boomer Esiason that said this at halftime?
Yes.
And mentioned you got to start talking about Julian Edelman as far as the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Regular Hall of Fame or the Patriots Hall of Fame?
No.
The Patriots Hall of Fame is a no-brainer.
No, forget about it. Yeah,
that's a no-brainer.
And I would say...
I would agree with the Patriots, but...
I would say yes for the Hall of Fame also.
Come on, Christian.
Well, what do you mean? Are we going to start...
How many All-Pro?
We haven't done this yet.
How about Pro Bowl? Do it.
Forget about Pro Bowl. That is the most overrated achievement of anything involving the NFL.
Christian,
Pro Bowl.
Has he ever been the top five, top eight, top ten wide receiver in this
league? Okay, listen.
Ever?
Look at his postseason numbers
alone. Love Julian Edelman, but
hold on. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's so far-fetched.
But that's opportunity.
Okay, good for him. He was part of that opportunity. Yeah. He was so good in the postseason. Look at all his clutch catches. Look at all the plays that he made. I mean, when you start comparing him to Jerry Rice, then you really kind of have to stop looking at the size, the color, his beard, what team he plays for, and then, you know, really start to look at it and say, wow, I mean, he's got some impressive numbers. Go ahead.
All right, listen to Boomer Esiason. This is what you were referring to. This is what Boomer Esiason said this morning.
Is Julian Edelman not a Hall of Famer? I mean, I know his numbers in the regular season don't match up to those of Antonio Brown and A.J. Green and Julio Jones, but his numbers are awesome in the playoffs, and he's right behind Jerry Rice. And considering these guys are still doing it, he may get another few years in the playoffs to add to those numbers. The guy is clutch in the biggest of games, and I don't know what else to tell you that he is, in my eyes, truly the definition of a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why that's so crazy to think
because that. Because the postseason, he's had a lot of opportunity. And you want to say all postseason, all time, whatever, wide receivers, because of the opportunity he's gotten? Sure, you could put him there. But was he a Hall of Fame wide receiver during his era?
I think you're looking at it. First of all, I agree with him. It's if he goes a couple more times and he gets more opportunities and they win another one, he just pads his numbers. I don't know why you would just almost like penalize him for not having 100 catches and, you know, or 1,000 yards or something like that where, okay, fine, great job. You're the only freaking option. I think you would have to look at him differently and, you know, grade him accordingly because what he's able to do is unfreaking believable. Yes, he had, you know, opportunities, more opportunities. I mean, he shouldn't be penalized for that.
That's what he's doing with his chances. Do you know who he's going to pass in 2 weeks in postseason receiving yards? Because we know that the Jerry Rice thing there's with touchdown, but with postseason receiving yards, he's going to pass Cliff Branch and Michael Irvin.
Oh man,
2 weeks from now, all he needs is 45 yards.
Now and then, also look, I know Michael Irvin. I don't know how long Michael Irvin played, but in the end, he could have. Again, I don't know if that's a good comp to use because I don't know how many actual receptions Michael Irvin has and how long he actually played. But his numbers are so significant and so just jaw dropping that you're going to be forced to address the issue.
See, but here's the problem.
And you I mean, right now, it's a no. Okay, yeah. Give me two more years. Yeah, you guys honestly feel like
33 and 34. Okay. 33 and 34.
See, because I got to be consistent when I say that I don't think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. But you know, he won two Super Bowls. Those 2 years, he was absolutely outstanding. But I believe you have to have a regular season career as well.
Okay, but he does have some really good regular seasons. No, so let's not act like he doesn't.
He's had some really good ones.
I got to look again. How many times did he go? Okay, what are his numbers? So, I don't want to sit here and do the math right now.
See, the example would be like I would tell you from like say 97 to probably 03, 04, whatever it was, that run of the Yankees. So they got a lot of those guys in that team that are up their career as far as postseason hits. But they're not all Hall of Famers just because, you know, they went to, you know, probably 1, 3, or 4 rings. Doesn't make him a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but his numbers, you guys are acting like his regular season numbers are pedestrian. Like they're just.
They're not.
They're better than pedestrian. So right off the bat, he's better than average. He's better than just good. So again, if he was just a pedestrian player, an average player who just, wow, they just forgot about his ass in the postseason. Hey, he went so many times. Of course his numbers were going to be high. They're going to be large. But no, he's just as good and productive in the regular season.
Yeah, but not as good as Wes Walker.
He's had one season of 100 catches, right?
One.
I don't know. Your computer works.
He had one at 105, one at 98. Those two years, he had over 1,000 yards.
That's going to be a problem.
Okay, so does he have one? Do you have it out there right now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are the other ones? He has one at 80?
I'll tell you right now. In 13, it started, because the year before, you had like 21 catches. So 105 catches over 1,000 yards. 92 catches, 972 yards. 61, 692, 98, 1,100, and this year.
So again, he still needs about two more years.
I don't think he'll ever get there.
No. Well,
postseason numbers, he'll climb the ranks, but never.
You're saying in 2 years, right, okay, I don't think it's too far-fetched. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I definitely think it's something that's possible.
I think it's far-fetched. And I think it's far-fetched.
Well, you're an idiot.
Okay, thank you very much. Here's why I think it's far-fetched. He's a definite in the Patriots Hall of Fame. There's no question about that. But when you're looking at the Hall of Fame, and unfortunately, there's a bias. There's a bias towards the slot receiver. right? And that's the people look at it and say, well, that's Belichick's little system. They operate. They run their offense.
Same with Marvin Harrison. Exactly. Same with Lynn Swann.
Right. You
same
run
with
it,
Michael
right.
Irvin. I mean, it's just you're right, though. There is a bias, and he's going to be affected by it.
Absolutely.
You're an idiot.
So that's why the postseason numbers, so his numbers would have to be so unbelievably glaring.
And that's
the numbers would have to be so just, well, guys, we can't ignore this. Well, but he only had 60 catches this year. Well, if you end up putting them all together when it's all said and done, it's going to be hard to ignore.
I remember having this conversation before when you look at Calvin Johnson's numbers and Megatron or whatever, and his numbers. You say, oh, there he is. He's an all-pro. Oh, he's a Pro Bowl player. But then you look at what this guy does, how he moves the chains. But he's a slot receiver. They're looking at it much differently.
I don't remember those conversations with Julian Edelman. I remember him with Wes Walker.
With Wes Walker.
Wes Walker's numbers, yeah. And, I mean, they dominate Julian. I mean, when you look, he had like I think five
postseason. How's he in the postseason? What do you remember of Wes Walker?
He didn't.
Well, yeah, he didn't get there.
He never won.
Okay, but again,
he was on that team during that 10-year stretch where they didn't win.
Yeah, 07 to what 12?
So you can tilt it. I would sit there and go, okay, Calvin Johnson, unbelievable talent. I mean, unbelievable. Just throw the ball up, and you just tell the guy's one of the best that's ever done it. But I sit there and I look at Edelman. I can't act like what he is doing is not special.
But they don't.
And I would sit there and say, but again,
they don't
bias.
Look at it as special.
Well, Brady was throwing.
That's
to
right.
Walker,
yep.
Troy Brown,
system.
Deion Branch.
He's the slot
David
guy.
David Givens.
Yes, that's what they're looking at. Yeah. And unfortunately, you're seeing it because he's never been selected to the Pro Bowl. I don't believe has he ever first team All Pro? No, I don't think so. So that's going to haunt him. All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to your phone calls. And more talk about maybe the greatest playoff win, non-Super Bowl, in Patriots history.
The Patriots are headed to Super Bowl 53 to face the Rams. Talk about it now. Now back to OMF on Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI.
Chip with him, and throw to Edelman over the middle of the field.
Pass down the middle. Caught. Edelman holds on.
He got whacked a couple of times and was completely unflappable with it.
Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch. Twice on this drive.
You played in so many big games over your career, and this one obviously you won in overtime, but what would you rank this game? The way it went back and forth.
I mean, it's up there. I mean, until the next one.
3 30-10s, and two of them went to Julian Edelman, and despite the fact that they beat the living crap out of him, he held on to the football, and they were gigantic.
3 third-and-10s in overtime.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Three of them.
Yep.
Two to Edelman, one that won the Gronk.
Right.
Unbelievable.
15, 20, and 25 yards, was that it, or something
yeah.
like that? 20,
yeah.
20, and 15. Peter's in Jamaica Plain. Hi, Pete.
Hey guys, I've been watching. Well, I watched Tom Brady for every playoff game, obviously, like you guys have. I think this might have been his most impressive performance, and I'll tell you why. You know, the last drive in regulation and in overtime, especially overtime, all those third and nines, third and ten, his receivers weren't open. I mean, if he had been a foot off line, except for the Hogan catch, they would have been incompletions. I mean, he was so accurate. It was, and his ball had such a tight spiral, and people who say he has a noodle arm, I mean, they might as well just completely apologize right now. None of those guys were open. The Kansas City defensive backs were right over these guys.
And yeah, I think you need to ignore the noodle arm, and what was the other one that Kellerman came up with? He's not fitting it into tight windows. There were some tight windows yesterday. He threw the football, too. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Tight windows.
You know, a couple things that. So Gronk finally had his game.
Yes.
You knew he had it in him.
But he also did a great job blocking as well.
He went right to him early on, too.
This is your typical, like, he was asked to do both, right? You know, do a bunch of the dirty work. And then when they needed a big play, that's the guy we're going to go to. We've identified him. Okay, easy situation. Tough catch, but you're a great player. You're a Hall of Famer. You should make it.
Yeah. David is in Florida. Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, David.
Good start.
Greetings.
Let's go. What do you got?
I got three things. First of all, you got to in the first half, it was one of those games where they dominated field time of possession, but you were getting a little. I was getting a little nervous because the score should have been more at the other first half. Yeah, the Brady interception, and it was a great first half, great game. But the thing that makes the other thing is that Kansas City did not have any major long sustained drives. They scored 21 points off of either big plays or penalties. Pass interference gave them 2 touchdowns. They had
not in the first half
a turnover. On the second interception, I mean Kansas City, they're like a college team.
So what was your point? What's your point then? They didn't look like a college team, but
is it one of the greatest postseason victories? I mean, it was an
yes. It was the best.
Yes,
minus Super Bowls, it was the best because you can certainly look at the Malcolm Butler play at the end and the fourth quarter with Tom Brady coming back. You can certainly look at the Atlanta game. They're down 28-3. We know the story there. So I'm not going to put those in it. This was Super Bowl. This was the greatest Patriots playoff win, in my opinion, because of what they were dealing with. Tremendous what they were doing.
They had the ball for less than 21 minutes. They put up 31 points.
Unbelievable.
No, that was an amazing game. The thing that amazed me the most about it
was
all the talk coming into it about the road games. You know, and you brought it up, Big O, and you're absolutely right. This team on the road did not look the same. Okay, that game could have been played in Gillette. Number one, I don't think the noise at Kansas City affected them one bit, unlike the earlier game where the Rams had serious troubles in New Orleans. You didn't see the stupid penalties. There wasn't any, there was nothing. Delay of games. Nobody jumped. The offensive line was outstanding. There was zero effect of being on the road for the New England Patriots. And I know I asked a question to Bill, and he's like, I keep asking this question. He's like, maybe I missed the season, but I thought we were good all year. Well, that's not true. I mean, as far as the Patriots standards go, there was a lot of things, you know, losing 2 games in Pittsburgh. They're 3-5. Are they now, was the Green Bay the only other team that went to the Super Bowl with a losing record on the road? Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's winning the Super Bowl with a losing record, but we're beyond that now. We're at a neutral site. That's why, to me, it was impressive. This team right now looks like the last 2 weeks played the 2 of the best games they played all year long, in my mind.
No, they finally figured
out they're doing it in the postseason.
They finally figured out their road problem on week 19.
And they gave up 31 points, and I thought defensively they were outstanding.
And this is how important. So you saw what Patrick Mahomes was able to do in the second half, specifically the fourth quarter. In the first half, 0 points for the offense, 32 total yards.
He was 4-for-8.
Is 3 first downs, 3 sacks, and they only had the ball for 8 minutes and 53 seconds. So, I mean, obviously, you know, controlling the clock is a big part of it, but I don't even think Bill could have imagined that they were going to be that good at it, that they were going to be that successful at it, even though he did miss a wide-open back, just like it did in the first game, week 6, missed Kareem Hunt, missed his back again, but geez.
That pass to, I think it was Sammy Watkins, when Claiborne hit him in the chest and he dropped down sidearm as he was getting hit?
Yes.
That was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, he is talented. He just wasn't good enough yesterday.
Yeah. Bob is in New Hampshire here on OMF. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's up?
Quick comment. You guys are talking about Edelman for the Hall of Fame, especially you, Lucas. You were so dead set against it.
Yeah.
What is the difference between Edelman being considered... And let me finish my question before you jump in. Versus Big Poppy. I love them both. Absolutely love them both. But Big Poppy has the same issue of being a designated hitter, where Edelman is a slot receiver. So there's votes against him there. Big Poppy had very good numbers in the regular season, off the charts in the Hall of Fame. Same thing with Edelman. Great, very good, great regular season numbers. Off the charts when it comes to clutch, when it comes to the postseason. You say he has the opportunity. Well, Poppy got to perform because he had the opportunity there. Why is it any different?
It's not even close. I don't even understand how you can't see it. You want to look at regular season and careers?
Yes.
I mean, it's not even close. What are you talking about? How do you make any sense whatsoever?
Yes, I do.
I mean, since 2003 to the day he retired, the guy was like 30-100. He had 54 one year. Regular season... He was a lot more dominant during a regular season in his career than Julian Edelman was.
He's best.
Well, I'll say it. Just
best hitter in the game. He was best hitter in the game.
What are you talking about?
For a while, he was the best hitter in the game. I hear what you're saying. What Bob's trying to do is he's trying to compare the slot receiver, which doesn't get great respect, to a designated hitter. And we know Edgar Martinez, is not in there right now, Lou, because they don't respect that position. There's a difference. This was the best hitter in the game.
Sexy.
I love Julian Edelman, but he's never been the best receiver in the game.
I would say that, so I just use Michael Irvin as a comp, okay? So Michael Irvin in his, 13-year career or something like that, 750 receptions.
Different game.
But still, the numbers are insane.
But the numbers are higher now, though.
Almost 12,000 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Receiving. So Edelman, let's just kind of just use that as a key. And where the hell did it go? And I just lost it.
I hate when this happens.
Doggone it.
I think it's a different game. That's all.
He's got those Adam Gase eyes now.
Oh, my God. I'm totally going
around.
Well, as far as like, the passing game itself.
Oh, here it is. Oh, yeah. So he's only got 5,300 yards receiving. And 499 receptions.
Listen, we love him. He's a great player.
When Michael Irvin was playing, was Michael Irvin ever regarded as one of the best wide receivers of his time?
Sure.
Okay. Is Julian Edelman?
Well, here's the thing. Hold on, I'm not going to let you just kind of gloss over it like that's all that matters. It isn't all that matters. It isn't. I would say that these freaking headphones are going out. They are. I'm losing control of everything. He's going to need a lot more. He's going to need not 2 years. He's going to need three.
10 more years.
He's going to need at least 200 more receptions.
10 more years of 100 catches.
No, he's going to need 200 more receptions and at least 3,000 yards receiving.
And then his
postseason numbers are going to have to be insane.
Unfortunately,
they already are.
We love him, and we know what he does for this team and what he's meant for this team, and that's why he's a shoe-in for the Patriots Hall of Fame. I think nationally they're going to look at it much differently. They're going to look at the slot receiver. They're going to look at that he has not been what the great receivers have been.
Do you think
he moves the sticks for this team?
Do you think he and David Ortiz is a good comparison?
No, it's a terrible comparison.
That's awful. Well, I can see why he's using
it, though.
Things
I don't.
Yeah, because he's
why he's using it?
Slot receiver and designated hit.
I mean, he's trying to relate to you, Lou, and you're just
he's trying to bring it to your
as a DH.
Your lower level.
Right. You're one of the best hitters in baseball as a slot receiver. He's just not visioned. He's a great wide receiver. Who doesn't love Julian Edelman? But he's never regarded as one of the best in the league.
All right, 617-779-7937. We got one more hour to go right here on OMF.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!